The previous Mishnah discussed at length the three different harvests of olive trees, and that within each of the three harvests there are three different levels of oil, the first one being the most refined and clear, whereas the oil which is extracted later on in the process is less clear. For example, only the first stage, only the oil which is extracted in the first stage of each of the harvests is valid to be used in the menorah. The menorah requires fully pure oil, so only the first part of the first oil which is extracted in each of the harvests is valid for that. The question is there any other difference between all of these levels? Why is the previous Mishnah telling us in such great detail that there is a difference between the levels? So it's true, for the first oil which comes out, I know that that makes a difference for the menorah. But is there any other difference between the levels? For example, the oil which comes out at the second stage rather than the third stage, is there any difference between them? In this Mishnah, we can see that there is. Harishon shebar rishon. The first oil which is extracted from the olives which are in the first harvest, out of the three harvests, ein lemala memenu, there is nothing better than that, meaning that is the best quality. If somebody is able to bring a korban mincha from that oil, that is the best. And all the more so for the menorah. Hasheni shebar rishon, the second extraction of oil in the first harvest of olives, the horishon shebar sheni, and the first extraction of oil in the second harvest of olives, shovin, they are considered to be equal. Although, interestingly, only the first extraction of oil from the second harvest is valid for the menorah, whereas the second extraction of the oil from the first harvest is not valid for the menorah. Nevertheless, the Mishnah considers them to be on the same level for other purposes, for example, bringing oil for the korban mincha. Next category, hashlishi shebar rishon, the third extraction of oil from the first harvest of olives, vahasheni shebar sheni, and the second extraction of oil from the second harvest, vahadrishin shebar shlishi, and the first extraction of oil from the third harvest of olives, shovin, they are all considered to be equal. And the next category is hashlishi shebar sheni, the third extraction of oil in the second harvest of olives, the hasheni shebar shlishi, and the second extraction of oil from the third harvest of olives, shovin, they are considered to be equal. And the final category is hashlishi shebar shlishi, the third extraction of oil from the third harvest of olives, elamata memenu, there is nothing which is considered to be worse quality oil than that. Although it would be considered to be valid for the korban mincha, if one is able to obtain any oil which is better quality than that, then he should. Now, we mentioned previously that only the first extraction of oil in each of the three harvests is valid for the menorah, because the Torah says explicitly regarding the menorah that shemen zayis zoch is required, pure olive oil. And the Mishnah elaborates that it would have seemed logical, and really all the more so, that the oil used for the menachos, for the flour offerings, that they would also require fully pure oil. Because if the oil which was required for the menorah, which is not consumed by the mizbeach at all, and nevertheless, tu'uno shemen zayis zoch, it requires fully pure olive oil. So hamenachos shehen la'achila, the flour offerings which are consumed by the mizbeach, einadin sheyetanu shemen zayis zoch, is not all the more so that they should require fully pure oil, because it ends up going on the mizbeach. Says the Mishnah, it's true that I might have thought that is logical, but Talmud loymar, that's why you have an additional pasuk, or the pasuk adds that the pure oil is required zoch kosis lamor. This is the pasuk which is talking about the oil used for the menorah. And it says that it is pure and crushed for the sake of producing light. So it's apparent that the Torah is specifying that specifically the oil used for light, meaning in the menorah, that is the oil which must be pure. V'loy zach kosis lamenachos, whereas pure oil is not required when talking about the oil which is crushed for the sake of the menachos, the olives which are crushed to get oil for the menachos. And that is how we learn that flour offerings do not require the most pure oil. Mishnah Vov, so far in this perek, the Mishnah has told us where the ideal and best quality flour will come from, which produce will produce the best flour, and the areas which will produce the best oil. Now the Mishnah goes on to discuss, from where would they bring the wine, meaning where was the best quality wine found? which vines produce the best wine, Krusim v'hatulim, the areas of Krusim and Tulim, the vines which grew there, Alfaliayin, they would produce the best quality wine. Shlialohen, the second best vineyards were Beis Rima u Beis Lavan Bahar, the areas of Beis Rima and Beis Lavan in the mountain, Ukfar Signa Babika, and the village of Signa in the valley. Although that having been said, Kol Arotzai Kasheirais, the vines which came from all of the lands were valid. However, they did not produce the very best quality wine, and therefore Ela Mekanohi Mavien, they would generally bring wine which came from vines in the aforementioned areas, because that was the best quality. Continues the Mishnah, just like we learnt regarding the flour and the oil, Ein Mavien, one should not bring wine, we're referring to wine, by the way, which is poured on the Mizbeach, for the sake of the Nesachim. And the Mishnah says that one should not bring wine which comes from vines which grew in the following places. Lom Beis HaSvolim, not from a vineyard which was fertilized. Lom Beis HaShelochin, or it was irrigated, meaning it is dependent upon water other than the rainwater. So there's a concern in both of these situations that it wasn't fertilized or it wasn't watered enough, and therefore it's lacking in quality. Lom Beis HaShelochin, nor should it come from a vineyard which had other produce growing in between the vines, because that other produce would take part of the nutrients from the ground and it would reduce the quality of the wine which comes from the vines. However, Vim Havi, if he did bring wine which came from any of these places, kosher, that wine is still valid. Ein Mavin El Yastoin, ideally one should not bring wine called El Yastoin. This refers to wine which has been sweetened in the sun, and when that happens, then its quality is considered to be reduced. The wine is less strong. That having been said, Vim Havi, if he did bring wine which came from here, kosher is valid. Ein Mavin Yoshon, Divi Rebbe, according to the words of Rebbe, one cannot bring wine which is old, and that means wine which is at least 1 year old. At that point, the wine becomes less red, it's considered to be worse quality. V'chachom Machshirin, however, the Chachomim say that this is also ideally valid. As long as it is younger than 2 years, it is considered to be as good quality as one would require, even on an ideal level. Next example, Emavin Le'mosoik, one should not bring wine which has been sweetened as a result of being left over time. This is detrimental to the wine. V'loma Ushon, wine which has been smoked, or it's been affected by foul smells. V'loma Vushal, nor should one bring wine which has been cooked slightly, because in all of these cases, it's now considered to be worse quality wine. V'im Havian, in these cases, if he bought wine which had gone through these processes, then it's considered to be a significant change in the quality, and possible it would be invalid to be used as nesachim to be poured on the Mizbeach. Right, and the Mishnah ends off with one more example. Im Avim and Adolios, one cannot bring wine which came from vines which were spread over wooden boards or a wooden roof. Elamin Harogios, rather one should bring wine which came from vines which grew directly on the ground and were not draped upwards on all sorts of other wooden structures, because if the vines are nearer to the ground, then they can absorb the nutrients much more and it will be much better quality. Minakrom Havudim, and it should ideally come from vineyards which are worked, which means that they are ploughed. Ideally, holes are dug surrounding the vines twice a year. That was the ideal vineyard that would be much better quality wine. And the most ideal way to bring wine for Nesachim to be poured on the Mizbeach is to bring the best quality wine. Mishnah Zayin, this Mishnah continues to discuss the wine which was used for the Nesachim to pour on the Mizbeach and to accompany certain korbanos. They would not put the wine into very large barrels in order to store it, but rather in smaller barrels in order to retain its best quality and taste. Furthermore, they would not fill up these barrels until the very, very top, in order that its scent and the aroma of the wine would be able to sort of drift and remain inside the barrel at the top, as opposed to leaving the barrel and thereby affecting the wine and making it lack that aroma and the scent which it has originally. And this is regarding storing the wine. Now, what about when they came to actually use the wine for the Nesachim? In a Mevila Mepiha, they cannot bring wine and use it for the Nesachim from the wine which is at the top of the barrel, because of the small pieces of mold which form at the top of the barrel of wine. Nor would they bring the wine from the very, very bottom of the barrel, mipnei hashmorim, because of the sediment, the part of the wine which hardens and is left as dregs at the bottom of the barrel. Elo, maybe mishlisha mensa, or rather they would use the wine which was in the middle third of the barrel. You would have some sort of small pipe going out of the barrel from the middle of the barrel, and they would direct wine outside of the barrel via that small pipe. Ask the Mishnah, Ketad Ubeidek, how would the person who is getting the wine from the barrel check and examine that the wine is still good quality and the wine which is taken out of the middle of the barrel is not now also including wine which comes from the top or the bottom third? How does he know once it's reached the third and he's taken the wine which is good quality, how would he be able to realize when the worst quality wine starts exiting from the barrel? So Hagizbor, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, the person who took care of administration like this, Yeshev, he would sit there and watch the person who is taking the wine out of the barrel, the Hakone B'yodai, and the Gizbor would be holding a reed, he'd be holding a stick, and as soon as he sees that Zorak es Hagid, the barrel exudes a slightly solid part of the wine, meaning he sees, as the wine is coming out of the barrel, that some dregs or sediment also come out. It's no longer the pure, clear wine which comes from the middle third. So then, v'hikash bakone, he would hit the person who is taking the wine out of the barrel, he would hit him slightly with this stick in order to signal to him to stop. The Gemara explains that he wouldn't just tell him to stop because the more that one speaks around wine, especially when wine is being processed, that is supposed to possibly damage the quality of the wine. And that's why you would hit him in order to signal to him to stop. Now, the Mishnah mentioned that we don't take from the top part of the wine because of the mold which might form at the top. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yain shalbe kamochem, wine where there is mold at the top of it, posel. That whole, all of the wine there would be considered invalid for you, for use as nesachim. Shneim, as the pasuk says, tamimim yulachem u'min chosom. The truth is, it's a two different pasukim. The Torah regarding animal korbanos says that they need to be tamimim, that they can't have any wounds on them. And the next pasuk starts with the word u'min chosom, and their korban mincha. And a different pasuk says, tamimim yulachem v'niskehem, that they cannot have any wounds on them, these korbanos, v'niskehem, and their nesachim. So Rabbi Huda explains the pasuk that the fact that it can't have a wound on it also is referring to the nesachim. And the equivalent of a wound, some sort of blemish, which makes it not perfect and not complete, would be if the wine has some mold forming at the top, that would invalidate all of the wine in that barrel. Perektas Mishnah Aleph. The next few Mishnayos talk about the different measurement, the different utensils used for measuring in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishnah starts with the solid measures. Shtei midos shayovishai b'hamikdash, there were two different measuring utensils used for solids in the Beis HaMikdash. And these would be used for measuring the flour for korbanos mincha. One of these measures was isorain, it contained one isorain, a tenth of an ephah, which is the amount for most korbanos mincha, that's the amount that needs to be bought, and v'chatzi isorain. There was a measuring utensil for half an isorain for the sake of the Kohen Gadol's Korban Mincha, the Minchas Chavitin, which he had to bring every day and split it in half and bring half in the morning, half in the evening, in the afternoon, and therefore he needed this measuring utensil. Meir says, interestingly, isorain v'chatzi isorain. There were two measuring utensils of the same size of an isorain and a third one of half an isorain. Why is that necessary? The answer is that one of these isorin measurements was used for most carbonates mincha, and they would make the flour go slightly over the limit, meaning it would be heaped up, so they wouldn't flatten it once it reaches the top. There would be slightly more, whereas the other isorin measure, they would make it be exactly to the top, and not that the flour heaps up a bit above the top of the utensil. Reason being that they would use for the Kohen Gadol's Korban Mincha. Now for the Kohen Gadol, they would split it in half later on. And if the flour is heaped up, then it's very likely that part of it is going to end up spilling over and not end up being offered. And so it's preferable that we make it flat so that we can split it into half exactly, and then that none of it will spill. Says the Mishnah, Yisorim Yehoyim Shamesh. What would the regular Yisorim measure be used for? Shebohi Omid L'chol Anochis. They would measure all of the flour for the Korbanos Mincha using that utensil. And even though there are certain Korbanos Mincha which require more than an Isorin, they would always only use this measurement. They wouldn't use a measuring utensil of 3 Isorinim for a bull korban or 2 Isorinim for a ram. Rather, they would measure the flour 1 Isorin at a time. What would the half Isorin measuring utensil be used for? They would use that to measure the flour used for the korban chavitim, which the Kohen Gadol will bring every day. Half of it he would bring in the morning, and half of it in the afternoon. And in the morning, when he first designates all of the flour together, they would use one isorain. They would use the full isorain measuring utensil, and then split it into half using the second half isorain utensil.